The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're on balls and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren LoGiudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. Well, how's it going? What's up in your Misfit world? I'm gearing up in the new year. I took a much needed break over the holidays. My partner and I go away every year for an escape Christmas trip, which is perfect because we don't have kids and we notice that nobody notices we're gone. So it's so quiet. And I did a lot of nothing. And more importantly to this conversation, I took a break from Instagram. And I was shocked that even though I know all the tricks, like I know that they're designed to make us feel bad about ourselves, to suck us in. I was a late adopter to social media. I was always like, this whole thing is a fucking bullshit scam and I have no interest in it. But I got into it, eyes wide open, because of comedy, you know, because of wanting to like gather other misfits for weird things that I wanted to do. And I got caught up in it. I really did. Like, not in a way that I'm like, you know, doing the awkward, desperate selfie situation, but in the way that I let it judge myself. Like I let it make me feel bad about me and my art based on performance metrics. Now, like some people might say, well, you do great. And I've actually met with social media people who will tell me like, oh, you know, you're doing great, doing all the right things. You just got to keep doing it. And I'm like, you know, it feels like an endless treadmill and you'll never be good enough. You'll never be big enough. You know, you have like this amount of followers. Oh no, but look at that other person with that. The comparison hangover is real. And Instagram is amazing at like delivering you that experience so that you're addicted to it because it's never good enough, which means you have to keep trying. You have to like keep aspiring. Like I was in Portugal. We went to go see the sunset in Lisbon. And we're walking across the street and everyone is taking selfies. It's insane. It was insane. Selfies and also like we're photo shoots, impromptu photo shoots, you know, the mini ones that everyone does with their friends or their partners and they hand them the camera and they're like, please make me look amazing. And then they make them do the photo over and over and over again and inspect it after they do it. Like they're judging the validity of the relationship based on the photo. And I was like, all of these people are working for Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, what witchery he's done that all these people have created platforms in which people do their work. I mean, it's like having ABC, NBC and like literally just having the public source the content that goes on there. It's genius and terrifying. And that's what I feel like we're all like working for them because it's free. We're the product. All right, rant over. But I took a break from this. I needed to take a break from this and help my game's perspective. And I'm trying to figure out a lot more ways to like avoid letting my mind get sucked into all of this insanity. So more to come on that. But, you know, it was good to take a break. A break gets perspective. And I think all of us, it doesn't matter if you're making content or not, like you can get sucked in. It's tough. All of us get sucked in. They're sucking us in for all different reasons. So beware and breaks recommended. Recommended for the misfits, man. Because the other thing with badass misfits is that we don't fit neat into the boxes of these social media algorithms. And so just the experience is a little bit different because they tend to reward sameness. And that's not us. So don't ever feel bad about yourself because of that. They don't appreciate it, but I appreciate you. Okay. So today, to start off the new year, we're going to do a Misfit melodrama. Yes, this is where me and some comedians will riff on audience-submitted stories. More on that in just a second. But before we go into it, reminder, please rate and review the podcast because social proof is super important for misfits because misfits trust other misfits to know what's good. Also, you can sign up for updates at laurenlogi.com or you can sponsor a podcast. We make it accessible for individuals or small companies. So just go on my website, listen, podcast, and contact us there. All right. So today we're doing some misfit melodrama with Dan Wilbur and Zach Sims of My New Thing. They're comedians I know around New York City. They're very accomplished and hysterically funny, and I think you're going to love them. And also shout out to their podcast, My New Thing, as well. Go and discover that. More Misfit weird things to find out about. All right, let's head to it. Misfit Melodrama with Dan and Zach. Welcome, Dan Melber, Zach Sims, to Misfits Making It.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. Well, okay. Before we get to the Misfit Melodrama, tell us about My New Thing.
Well, as a misfit myself, I've never fit in. I've never been a cool person. None of that's true. This is a podcast about anyone's new thing, obsession, hobby. And every single week we have a guest come in and basically teach us how to do things that aren't just sitting on our computers and staring at things, which is mostly what we do, I think, now. Did I get that right, Zach? That was a great pitch.
That was certainly depressing.
Thank you.
And that's what you were going for. I think everybody's got something they're into, right? It could be a craft. It could be a lifelong obsession. It could be anything. And we're all looking for anything to fill the void.
Yeah.
And these are options, and it's funny.
Well, I was wondering when I was listening to it, like, can you ever predict what people's, like, thing is going to be? Do you know that before they come on?
Yeah, we ask beforehand because we want to be able to at least read three sentences of the Wikipedia page on the subject before they come in. We do a lot of intense research. And by that, I mean whatever comes up on first on Google. That's what we know about. So they might be giants. You better believe I looked at that discography for about 10 minutes and listened to the two songs I already know before Josh Gondelman came in and talked about that band.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sometimes it maybe is useful if we know something about the topic. I think we're doing one this afternoon. We might not know anything, so we'll see if that airs or not. But it's a learning it's a learning experience for us all, I feel like. And I feel like somebody who never has any hobbies, so it's nice to consider possible hobbies, you know?
Now, I got a question for you, Zach, because now this is our podcast.
No, thank you.
Have you engaged? We've done 9-10 episodes, and then the ones that we burned in the fire because they were so bad. So we've done we've sat down with about 15 people.
That's a lot in the fire.
Well, you have no idea how bad these guests were. Anyway, I'm sure those people are insulted and mad. So have you taken up anything because of the podcast is what I was just thinking about. Like, have you started to listen to something? No. You're like, I'm always looking for new stuff. And then when someone tells you about how to get into something new, you're like, nah, I don't like that.
It seems like a lot. I mean, a lot of the stuff we talk about, I go to the gym. I lift weights from time to time. I think it's fun to listen about what people are into, right? And I think sometimes you learn about different, like, subcultures or whatever. And that's cool. Most of the stuff, I mean, hopefully we'll branch out, right? But we're mostly talking to our friends and I already know what they like. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
everyone so far has asked us to get into heroin. So we're like, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to pass. Mm-hmm. It's an after school special every episode.
Well, you have to say no in different ways. You have to constantly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just like an improv. Yes. You have to always be saying no.
Yes. No. And then you got to anyway, that was a thought, but it wasn't a good one because I haven't had coffee. Okay. All right. So let's get into Misfit Melodrama. Okay. So what we do is I have a box of audience submitted stories from the Misfit Variety Show. And we're going to go through and I'll read one. I'll read one or two as myself. And then I'm going to bring my character Carmela Rivoli on. Chill. She's fun. She's in from Boca to hang out with you. And then we'll go from there. And as always, everyone, we are making fun of ourselves more than you always and forever. And if you too want to submit a story, you can submit it by leaving a message at 646-WANG-0X1. There you go. They gave me a random number. I had to do something with it. So,
yeah, sure.
Wang. Wang 0x1. Okay. All right. So this is a question. What's a standout moment when you felt like a misfit? It could be an embarrassing story, a crazy family story, unconventional origin story, and or unique life experience. And this person says, in middle school, I dyed my hair green for crazy hair day and forgot I had a basketball game that day. I was the only player with crazy hair and it made me my sweat green. That's, oh, wow. this might be one I, you know, sometimes I do shows in very conservative areas and the things that they're like really ashamed about.
One time I wore a tube top. Yeah. I could see, I mean, it's like a Gatorade commercial or whatever, right? A green sweat, that should be embarrassing, you know?
Yeah.
It's cooler. Imagine if Rudolph Giuliani had green hair. Maybe he wouldn't have been made fun of so much for sweating.
That's right. That's right.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I had a kid in junior high because we had to wear uniforms in our junior high. It was a public school, but they passed a law that we had to, they were very loose uniforms. We had one kid, Tommy Roos, who refused to wear the uniform. And he dyed his hair. But generally, everybody really liked him. Although after about a couple of weeks, they were like, this guy, I don't like that he's not doing what we're doing kind of thing. So then it turned a little bit. But he was a hero for about, I would say.
I got a good one that's, I was thinking of, oh, it must be mortifying from seventh grade or something. But I have one from when I was 22. And it was that I went to a club. I've only been to one nightclub in my life. And this nightlight photographer was having his birthday party. And he said, it's a white trash birthday party. I know the club owners. Get there by like 7 and we'll have the place to ourselves. So I came in tank top, sleeveless, and I had someone draw like a sexy lady on my arm. I had somebody draw like, you know, like a beer can on the other arm. I had like a face tat, like all this stuff. And it was in indelible marker. And then I did not realize that like after an hour of us being there, it was just the regular club. So only 3 people, you know, understood the assignment and showed up with like, you know, a case of Natty Light or whatever, but it was just an empty box and like had a cigarette in their mouth that they didn't light and a weird hat. And I was like, oh, cool. We're all like, some of us tried it and we all get the theme. And then a bunch of people who are just so much more successful than I am showed up and took over all the tables. And it was just a regular nightclub. And I was just dripping, you know, all the designs just started dripping down my arms, Rudy Giuliani style.
But they're jealous. A lot of those people who go to those nightclubs are like, what is it like? I used to work in that sector. It was like finance douchebags and like tech bros. They're mad.
I almost got in a fight because I thought a group of people were with us and I drank off their table and a guy almost fought me because I realized that I had just like poured $200 into my, you know what I mean? Like a bottle service is really expensive. And I was like, yeah, you guys are all, we're all friends. We're all friends. And then they were like, I'm going to kill you. And I looked like an idiot. I looked like the most punchable person in there.
Yeah. They were like, you're definitely going to get punched in the face. Funny how when I've taken alcohol from people's tables, people don't mind. But that's the rule. I don't make the rule.
Wow. They're just trying to
roofie me. So that's the other thing.
Well, that guy was also trying to roofie me. But
he was
pissed. Put my feet in cinder blocks.
Yeah.
Throw me into the
I remember
river.
When I was the dye store that came to mind for me was like I was working at Restaurant Florent down in the meatpacking district back in the day. And I used to work overnight from like midnight to 8 in the morning as an overnight host. And this famous people would sometimes come in like on the low, just sort of like sit with the security guard at the end of the bar. Like Bill Murray used to come in a lot. And then this model, I forget her name. I don't know who these people are. She comes in. And she was crying like so hard. And she was just like kind of in the corner. And she's like, I burnt my hair to the crisp. I was at the hair people. And like, this is like my livelihood.
Yeah.
I am a real model. Some people say they're models. I am a real model. And at the time, I will admit, I was doing some modeling as a way to just
try to break into show business. I don't give a fuck. I wasn't very good at it. And bitter, I will say, I am bigger enough person to say, when she said that and she was like, oh, my hair dye, it made my hair is, I was like listening to her. And then I like rolled my eyes and walked away.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
I was like, oh, such an asshole. Oh, I feel bad. No empathy. I am sorry. I was just jealous, I guess.
It was Anne Hathaway.
Yeah. That was it. Cool. All right. So I'm going to bring Carmela out. And the reason why I'm going to put on her, I'm going to put on her stuff because when I've done her before and then I put the clip on, no one on the internet knows what I'm doing. So sure. They're like, why do you have this talking weird? And why do you? So I'll put on her accoutrement. Here we go with the power of wigs. She's coming out.
I'm yeah, so
Dan,
excited.
You've never met her. I don't think you've ever met her.
No, never.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, what a treat.
Okay. Wow. Rod right. Stewart.
Right. Hello. Look at you. Little Long Island boy. We haven't met Dan Wilbur. Okay.
Hello. Thank
all
you.
Right. Okay. I'm from Brooklyn, but I'm Boca Raton, Florida now, and I come up for all the things. Hi, Zach.
Oh, sure.
You have a punchable face, Zach. Okay. Next, moving on.
Oh, sure.
I mean that in a good way. Pinch of cheeks. Okay. Let's see another one. Let's see what people wrote. Someone wrote, I smoke weed and didn't want my family to know. I use swimming goggles to hide my eyes. I blame the apocalypse and they bought it.
I was my eyes were raptured. The liquid in my eyes got raptured.
They didn't mind. They just assumed you're just walking around in swimming goggles and nobody had
that's
any
what it was. It was sad that they either thought you were crazy enough to be into the like. Are you an apocalypse prepper or are they?
Mm-hmm. You know? No, that's a good point.
Are you absolutely. An apocalypse prepper? What are you bringing down there? White claws and...
I'm going to whatever pack of parliaments I have in my bag is what I'm going down there.
You're going to smoke in the bunker?
Whatever. Of everyone course. Has to deal with it. I smoke in my house. I don't want to give a shit.
What if there was a prepper and like all they had were just stacks of Zins? They were like, this is all I need.
Absolutely.
Appetite suppressant.
Oh, Zin, is that the appetite thing?
No, it's tobacco. No.
Yeah. Is it?
It's not. No, Dan, it's not tobacco.
We've talked about it's not this. Tobacco. It's nicotine.
Zen. What does that do?
It's my new thing. I'm getting into Zen.
Oh, is that that's your my new thing? Is that your particular my new thing, Dan Wilbur?
Yeah, it's addiction. I'm getting into addiction.
One of the fun dynamics of our podcast is Dan explaining a thing that I do. and Dan with full confidence being like, I'll take it from here. Sure, Zach actually does the thing, but I'll tell you what, what's going on.
We had Zin's a whole conversation about it.
It's a nicotine.
We had a full conversation about it 2 days ago, and I got it wrong anyway.
So you had a full conversation between you two about you trying to be his keeper or something?
I just try to be Zach at every turn, yeah.
Yeah.
He sounds like you guys need therapy.
Yeah. Am okay. I supposed to tell a story about a time I smoked weed?
You don't have to do anything. Whatever comes to your pretty brain.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This is a long one. You don't have to do nothing. This is too many words. I'm not reading that. Okay. All right. You can do whatever. This is free form riff. As you go, this is what we invite the comedians to do this because no one else is crazy enough to. Okay.
Sure.
All right. When I went into the restroom at Target to check on my daughter and commented loudly, Jesus, holy cow, you're peeing like a racehorse. She said, Mom, that's not me. And another lady walked out of the stall.
Oh, that's great. That's just a great story. Yeah.
I think that's really fun. I've to do more. That's like what it's like an improv game. You comedians, the improv, the other person speak for someone else or something.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I saw one. Yeah, go for it.
No, I was just going to ask how you feel, and I've forgotten your name. It's Madam. I'm sorry.
Carmela.
But how you feel, Carmela, about, let's say, a man or a woman bringing a child, a young child, like a guy, like a dad bringing his young 5-year-old daughter into the bathroom. How does that make you feel?
I mean, who gives a shit? The thing is, a toilet is a toilet. This whole thing with the bathrooms and all the old people always talk about it. I think, you know, do you have different bathrooms in your house? I don't know. Just what are you going to do? The kid's going to get molested outside, then get molested inside. I can't keep up. So yeah, just
I can't keep up with where these kids are getting molested. All the hot new scenes.
Mm-hmm. You're not wrong, though. No, either way. Either way.
Wait, what do you think he should do? He should bring the daughter in or what?
Oh, I have no problem with bringing it. And so when you're a guy and you see it, you're a little ajar. I don't know if that's the right term, but you notice it. You're a little scattered. But I think there's no other move. There's no other move.
What
and they go
do?
Into a stall. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, though, the men's room is such a pit of despair and disgust, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a den of iniquity.
That don't they smear the poop sometimes? They do all sorts of things in there.
Sure. Well, that's not like a law, but
right? It's usually the if the men's room is usually the smelliest, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I smell a lot of women's rooms. But and they usually
that's the
smell
thing.
Much
that's goes around women's women's rooms.
Tell us
them.
More about that, Zach.
I just you catch a whiff from time to time. I did once. this isn't really much of a story, but I did one time accidentally walk like two steps into a woman's bathroom in Target, and there was like an 8-year-old girl who was like, "You shouldn't be here." And then I immediately, I was like, oh, shit. And I turned around.
Look at how the gender, the gender binary.
Sure, I should have shamed her. You're right.
Yeah,
I should
have shamed her right back.
Absolutely, yeah. But I was too terrified I was going to get arrested. Yes. But, yeah.
All right. Anything to say to that, Dan? We're not trying to cut you off here.
I completely forgot what I was going to say about, peeing. Oh, yeah. I went to see the movie The 25th Hour. All my stories are about times I saw a movie. I had a great childhood. And I remember there was an old couple in front of me, and I was just being a jerk with my friends, and I was peeing in a stall, and I was like, it was the final hour for that couple in front of us. And the guy, I walked out of the stall, and the guy was standing right there. And I felt
that. How old were you?
I was like 13, 14. Wow, I don't know when that movie came out.
Yeah,
I was a little monster. And you know what? I hope this story never gets told again.
Okay, well, yeah, you were a monster. I don't know. Are you still unclear? Okay.
I'm still a monster.
Here we go. Okay. Once on St. Mark Street, I laughed at someone who slipped on a slice of pizza. Then I also slipped on a slice of pizza. On that slice of pizza, that's well serves you right.
They just saw themselves on the side of a building. It was they just saw themselves slipping. It was a mirror.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
That's just a little you could read that in the New Yorker or New York Times, I feel like, in the New York stories. You'll laugh at somebody, you get laughed.
You can't take a step outdoors without slipping on a pizza.
I had a moment once, and I don't know if this is worth sharing, but what are we doing with our lives anyway? But I was living in Brooklyn, which I still do, but it was many years ago. And I was walking. I used to smoke cigars in Greenpoint in this park. Mm-hmm. And I was walking to the train. And as I was walking to the train, I walked into a parked bicycle. Just wasn't paying attention. Not a full walk in, sidewalk in, hit an elbow or whatever. And this guy was walking by me with his girlfriend, and he kind of looked at me and he was like, "Nice job," or whatever, just kind of making fun of me to his girlfriend. His girlfriend kind of chuckled. They didn't, poke my nipples or anything, just a little insult as they passed. And I was a little upset. And then I kept walking, and then I realized that everybody else I was walking by had no idea I had just walked in the bicycle. And there was this moment, the beauty of New York. That everything is fleeting. You don't have to really care about every little moment. And we're all just moving on and living our lives. And that man was John Kerry, which is a fun little side note.
Former.
Yeah. Presidential candidate. Okay. Well, he was so mad than having lost, in 04.
That is the beauty in New York. That's what I miss. Too many down in Boca, everyone's always poking out of their windows, watching you come in. I don't know how, and this is why I think some of these stories, when I go to the conservative areas, the stories are so minimal. On like, I once like got up to go and I thought I was going to lunch, but it was really dismissal, and I've been shamed ever since.
Yeah. Anybody cheating on their wife or something? Come on.
I know. We need something good here. No one. Okay. All right. That's a good, give us the dirt. That's the question. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, clinical depression. One person talks about is clinical depression.
Sure.
I got, a story. I got something at Jesus camp, but the pastor was splitting everyone all week. Oh, he got spit on at hair and got, I got, it says M O N mono. They got mono.
Yeah.
At Jesus camp, the pastor was spitting everywhere all week. That's holy water, maybe?
I'm sure. That's a likely story. I caught it from a toilet seat. I caught it from the pastor spitting. We know what you did.
This is, you know, there's always like a layer underneath all these stories.
Sure.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a, you know, getting mono at a religious camp would be interesting. And I'm sure a lot of shame. But if just for a spit past and it just is like something else. I don't remember. I went to a Jesus dance.
Wait. You were the one praying all day?
No, not really. I just said that for humor. But I was not.
I'm saying it for humor. You were being the goody two-shoes and the rest of them were blowing themselves in the confessional or each other.
That's
in the
true.
Confessional.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely, oh, I'm yes. So sorry for you. Oh, I have just so many that I find out later, nieces and nephews, they're all the things they do behind a church, in a church, under the pew, on the pew. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Under the boardwalk. Another place.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to think there was like a set of, oh, if you were in theater, you were definitely doing that stuff. If you went to theater camp, if you went to band camp, if you went to I think it's just anywhere where you stick a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah, it turns out teenagers just want to fool a rat.
That's yeah, what, like yeah. Flag Corps was a dangerous place. Flag Corps.
Wait, what's Flag Corps?
It's where it's like cheerleading, but with flags.
Oh, that's so nerdy. I love it.
They were after it.
You know, the other thing is, I think maybe like everyone's like, oh my God, band camp. Can you believe what they do at band camp? It's because they expect them to do nothing. Right. They're like, oh, they're nerds. They don't have sex. So it's like the same thing with old people. Oh, you don't know. Well, people don't, you know, they get surprised when I tell them Boca Raton has the highest rates of STDs in the country, some of the highest, because people are getting freaky. And it's, you know, they're liberated from the age. It's the same thing with band camp. No one expects them to be freaky.
That's right.
Nerds.
True, Boca?
Is what?
Is that true? Boca Raton?
STD, has one of the most. You might want to look it up. I don't know. It has very high.
I'll Google it. Yeah.
It has very high rates. Are you looking it up now? I could see you typing. No, you're not. Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. You know, you say things to people and they're like, oh, and then they're gone. They're
yeah, I'm planning my next trip. But you stop.
Okay. Basically.
Where the numbers are at.
It's because when all of the inhibitions of life and the requirements are off, it's like, well, why not have an orgy, you know? That's what happens down here.
Yeah.
You only live once.
Yeah. And it's clearer you only have less time left. You figure you might as well pack it in, so to speak.
Yeah, okay. I'm always the guy in the back saying, we should have done this years ago.
Yes.
As I'm doing it.
At an orgy.
What a thing to
stay at an orgy.
Why don't we do that? I say, I blush a little. Okay, guys, I really needed this. Is what I say. Fun with friends.
We have two bi guys on here later today, so we'll be talking more about that. Okay.
Oh wow.
The podcast two bi guys. Okay. So here's another one. I walked into my classroom on the first day as a professor, ready to start a new semester. I noticed a funny look on the students' faces as I introduced myself. They informed me I was in the wrong room. It is usually a student who ends up in the wrong room. So we all laughed, and I looked at the correct room number I needed to find. This is another one. So what? You went into the wrong room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was waiting for you were gonna where's be the like, punchline?
And then I discovered my pee-pee was out. I had I unzipped up or, you know, there was something.
I just decided that I was going to teach biology, even though I'm a rhetoric professor.
Right.
Yeah. I walked outside one day and saw this woman with chickens and tutus. And she was just taking pictures of them in front of stuff. And I was like, well, it's 8 a.m. Why not?
Chickens in tutus.
Yes.
Wow.
Like they turning the chickens into like a burlesque dancer almost. I think she had a boa.
You know, those are so cute, and I love looking them on my iPad when I scroll, but, like, I think...
Chickens?
Well, all those animal videos, you know, they put outfits on them. But I think, isn't that kind of a little, you know, a little screwed up for the animal? Do you guys get mad for the animals?
No, I eat chickens. So I'm okay if they put them in a tutu right before they let me eat them.
I like it if they're
demeaned first.
You know what? This is a great point. If you're not going to eat it, then maybe don't dress it up. Maybe.
That's right.
Maybe. Because if you'll kill it, then who cares?
I'll kill a chicken right now.
Oh, I'll kill one.
On air. I feel a little bad about cows because they're basically big dogs.
Yeah.
And they're sweet animals and I shouldn't be eating those. Right. But a chicken? Have you ever, like... I know Zach is cat sitting or something. You know, Zach's watched a cat. I know he has, but I don't know if you have pets. But a friend of mine owned chickens, and I had to feed them for a week. I hate those things. I would tell them that I was feeding them so I could eat them. I hope they know. I looked in their eye. I saw no soul.
This is here. We are. Oh, sorry. We have these sound effects that we have here. And get it to canceled. Here. We go. Okay, right here. This is Dan Wilber makes a statement. Oh, Zach, are you making the statement about the animals? What's your stance?
Oh, I'm not a fan of dressing animals up. My girlfriend used to work at a chicken coop in Brooklyn. She loves chickens. That's really all.
Well,
I don't really tell her about this pod.
Yeah, don't.
Oh, I'm going to tell her a lot about everything that happened here today.
This is. This is
hot take.
But yeah, I'm not a big, we have cats and she would be inclined to put a shirt or sweater on the cat or a bow tie. And to me, I'm not that into that.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever want that. It's like when a cat's on a leash, 9 times out of 10, that cat does not want to be on that leash. Sometimes they do. But for the most part,
I got a harness for my pug that looks like a nice suit with a bow tie, like a tux. And he likes that.
Or sidewise, you know.
It's shaped. Yeah, it was for like his birthday, you know. Walk him and say, look, that's his birthday.
Well, it's a familiar feeling. Like he's used to having a leashy, whatever thing we call harness, which sounds a little perverted to me. But he says he has it on
the harness. Yeah.
And so it just seems like a familiar feeling, but it's like, you know, you tie a necktie around a cat's neck. That feels, what the fuck is this shit? Okay.
You're not even allowed to do a regular leash on a pug because they'll die immediately.
Those things are just not supposed to
exist.
They
just can't breathe. They're not supposed to live. So I'll dress them however I want.
Zach, another hot take. Zach just said right here, pugs should not exist.
Well, they just don't. Okay. They can't live. They can't breathe.
No, they used to be,
you know,
they used to be these big dogs with like snouts. And we squished them into nothing.
They're
and
born so I hope they come to die.
I hope they come back. Yeah. I hope we stop spaying and neutering them and they run free. And they become big dogs again.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Like sort of like Jurassic World or whatever. One of those movies.
Yes, exactly like Jurassic World, but cute.
But cute and not trying to eat us. Okay.
Imagine getting eaten by a pack of pugs. Large pugs.
Your self-esteem would go so low before you're dead. That'd be sad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Zach, Dan, I got to go. It's happy hour somewhere, and I'm going to go indulge. Okay. Bye. Thank you so much. See you soon. Enjoy.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's Carmella.
Beautiful. Oh, wow.
She had fun.
It was nice to meet her.
She was just here.
Yeah, she's gone.
She was just here. Now she's gone. Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. Well, y'all got to go do all more fun new things with your podcast, all your intensive research for your podcast. Mm-hmm. So, before you leave, depart us, tell us where we can find you and the podcast.
I'm sure. Oh, I am at Zach Sims Comedy on TikTok and also Zach Sims on Instagram, and the podcast is at My New Thing Pod on Instagram. Is that right, Dan?
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent.
So yeah, check those things out and rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need it. We need people. We got a bunch of listeners, but we, as with all podcasts, we have no feedback. We have no idea how anyone feels about it. Saw a friend last night. He was like, "I listened," but he didn't say if it was good or not. Like an old Mitch Hedberg joke. He just said, "I listened." Thank you. It's like, hey, a haircut. That was it. Nobody says if it's good. So yeah, find us there, and you can find us every week. Wednesday night in Park Slope at We Have Fun at Young Ethel's, which Lauren, you have graced the stage there.
So fun.
It's a fantastic show we do every week. So if you are in the city, you should come see us there. And then, yeah, you should listen to My New Thing.
Hell yeah. And Dan, I don't think you dropped, what's your Instagram?
It's Dan Wilber Comedy.
Okay.
And you find it's a lot of J.D. Vance stuff and little jokes. I posted a joke.
Mostly pro.
It's just a regular joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Recommend it.
Pro Trump. Yeah.
Yeah, very. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't you know? All right. Well, thank you guys for coming by.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's fine.
There we have it. You can follow Misfits Making It on my social pages at Lauren Logie on all the things, Instagram especially, and also X Twitter thing and Threads and TikTok and YouTube Shorts and all the things. You can get updates and inside info by joining my email list at www.laurenlogie.com. Thank you to Ani Makutsian for editing, Edward Schilla at Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Thank you to Marine Asiant for our new music and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast. And thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The preceding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.